In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Today, we celebrate the feast of the Nativity of Mary, one of the most precious and beautiful and daring feasts of the Church. It's not the most famous feast, not even among the Marian feasts, but it's one to strike dear to the heart of us and to the heart of the Church. It's a unique feast. And that is the Nativity of Mary. Most all of the saints throughout the year have their feast days upon their death days. And theology and Christianity, our death is considered our heavenly birthday. Death is the baptism for which we are baptized in the day in which we step into eternity. Now, for us humans, death is not an easy thing. When we experience the death of loved ones, we grieve and we have sorrow. And I think we're shivering if we're not a bit uncomfortable with the thought of our own death. Because we're beautifully made for this world and the things of this world. We're programmed to live in this world, so it's not easy to leave it. But even the thought for human beings is that after time of grief, that eventually with our loved ones, we come to a time when on a death day you can start to remember and celebrate the memory and the life. So, again, saints are always situated on their feast day. St. Francis of Assisi, we know that well because it's when all the church throughout Christendom do their pep lesson. He died October 3rd, 1226. His feast day is October 4th, as close as possible to his death day. But there are three exceptions when we celebrate the earthly birth because of the sanctity of the birth, the preordained nature of the birth, and the possibly unusualness of the birth. Number one, we know Jesus, virgin birth, December 25th. There's another one, John the Baptist. 6 months older than Jesus, on June 24th, we his nativity because his birth was considered exceptionally holy and unusual. Remember Gabriel came to his father Zechariah before John was even born to tell Zechariah the nature of his birth, and he would be a forerunner of Messiah. Also, it was considered that John's birth was further sanctified in the visitation. Remember the story when Elizabeth met her cousin Elizabeth, and in Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptist left the joy of the presence of Jesus in the womb of his mother, Mary. And then we have today, always the fixed day of September 8th, 9 months after the feast of the conception of December 8th, the birth of Mary. Curiously, in the Bible, we know nothing of the birth of Mary. The details are not in the canonical books of the Bible. The details come to us through holy Christian tradition. Much of the what we call apocryphal writing, those early Christian writings, largely from unknown sources, but considered worthy and holy. And from these writings, we glean some of the facts of believed to be the fact of her birth, like the names of her parents, Joachim and Anne. By the way, as we enter the church, there are two beautiful statues, and I'll point them out at coffee hour, of both Joachim and Anne. And Anne is most unusual because rarely do you see the picture of Anne anything but the baby, Mary. But in our statue, Mary is about 9 or 10 years old. It is absolutely beautiful. And then we have the detail that her birth was preordained. It was holy. And so, forever and ever, we honor the birth of Mary. The birth of a mother, in and of itself, is a holy thing. Think about it. It tugs at our hearts. Like go to the drugstore, the birthday and mother section, always have people in front of it. Because before we are born, a mother enfolds us, protects us, nourishes us. After we are born, she protects us, nourishes us, forms us. And a mother's job is not done when we are grown. And Mary is the mother of the church and mother of all of us. And especially, I would say to those, there are many in this world who are bereft of earthly mothers through death. And sadly, sometimes their mothers are not what they were meant to be or what they should have been. And many people are bereft of what they should have had in a mother. But to them, this day is even more holy because Mary stands and says with arms open, I am your mother. And I will be for whatever was lacking in your life. I will nourish you, love you, and protect you. In the 5th century, Augustine Hippo, the great theologian of the church, who credited his own mother Monica with his conversion. If you read the story of Augustine, he was a rascal growing up, and his mother just would not let go in her tenaciousness. She prayed for his conversion. Eventually he did. He became one of the greatest theologians, at least in the Western church. And he often connected the birth of Mary to the saving deeds of Jesus. His words were beautiful. Mary is the flower of the field from whom blooms the precious lily of the valley. For Augustine of Hippo, if the Christmas story, the incarnation, is the ultimate love, the expression of God's love, becoming flesh, becoming human being. That salvation, that the birth of Mary is the dawn, the foreshadowing of that salvation. And so for Augustine, September 8th, the birth of Mary is the slight turning of the head to the Christmas story. Ever so slight. Still, our date was selected in proportion to the feast of Easter. But today, September 8th, we slightly turn ahead. That's why tomorrow when we go to Macy's and we see the Christmas trees, the decorations coming out. We have to get too upset. Usually, when I go, my judgmental self says this, oh, what commercialism. How dare they do this early? Now it should serve a purpose to remind me, oh, John David, September 8th was the birth of Mary. Think of the birth of Mary. We can turn our heads slightly to the Christmas story. But maybe Mason knew more than we gave it credit. So today is the story of the birth of Mary, which is the story of the birth of Jesus. But it's also the story of our births. God, Mary, like Mary, John the Baptist, and the other saints, we were born with a purpose. God knows us by name and by need. There's a place for us. We might not have the dramatic story of John the Baptist or Mary, but God has a purpose for each of us. And I propose today on the Feast of the Nativity of Mary at this Mass, we can say with all authenticity, I know what I know what I know. What the will of God is for my life. I'm living in God's will. How? We say it in a Marian sense. Did Mary know the future in a Western American way? Did she know the tangible measures of tomorrow, tomorrow, and the next day? No. She knew the will of God in that she said yes to the will of God. And that placed her in the will of God, in the most holy of ways. And what we do at every Mass when we receive the Holy Communion is we come as we receive the bread on our hands or on our tongues. It is our practice to say, either silently or aloud, Amen. And that's the theology of Mary, to say yes to God. We might even choose to use the 8 words of Mary, some of the 8 of the most beautiful words ever uttered by a human being. Be it unto me according to thy word. Can you imagine if we woke up every morning saying those words? We say those words every time we receive communion. We leave the church then knowing what we know, that we are in the will of God because we said yes to it. I can't think of a greater gift of today's feast. Blessed be the birth of Mary.